Plants at the Chelsea Flower Show singing for us, honestly. We'll be dancing with the Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments, speaking of which, now I only joke, fresh from a day in the London bandstands and ready to serenade you right now, as fine as they come, it is Onyx Brass. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. The subtler side of Onyx Brass. They can blow double 40 if they wish. They may do that later. Thank you. It was a Bernard Hughes arrangement of Les Barricades Mystérieuses by Couperin. And they'll be back to play shortly. Well, Onyx Brass are back, I'm glad to say. They've been whizzing round the city of London today. They started off in St Paul's Cathedral, so they were rejected, took to the river, ended up in City Hall and Victoria Embankment Gardens, and then at Hyde Park Bandstand. They've still quite a lot of breath left. Very nice to have you with us. Amos Miller is going to tell me about the next piece, and we'll talk about your great trajectory after that.
The next piece is a bit of a sneak preview, actually, before we get on to the whole bandstand thing that we're doing at the moment. The next piece is a little sneak preview of a project that we're hoping to get started at the end of this year, beginning of next, of some great British resident jazz composers writing us, and we've been very privileged to have Kenny Wheeler write us a piece for us, and a man who really understands brass instruments and music, and understood the remit, which is for a classical group, mm-hmm. not with rhythm section, not with improvising, but with a lovely jazz-inflected piece. So this is a piece of his called One for Five.
You forgot to ring him, didn't you?
I did forget to ring him, unfortunately, but I like the iPlayer is a great thing, so I shall...
Kenny, I hope you're listening.
I'll give him the link.
Anyone's in the next room, turn the radio up and send him in immediately.
Exactly, I'll give him the link later.
You've got about 10 seconds before Amos goes back and make sure his mouthpiece is clean, and then we're away. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Piece by Kenny Wheeler for Onyx Brass, the second movement of One for Five. You probably worked out there are five of them because they are a quintet. Well, they're off to play at Hyde Park Bandstand. If you're out in the sunshine, they're heading your way. They are very classy, so that's fine. Amos Miller is making his way back. David Gortenshute is here as well. He's got the heaviest and the deepest instrument of the lot in your tuba.
That's right, yeah.
You need to do exercises for that, to be able to hold it up.
Well, funnily enough, the whole Bandstand project is a lot about having to almost behave like a military band, so the tuba is strapped to me. We don't have seats for a lot of the music. So I do have to work out. I do have to bulk up and eat lots of
protein
carbs.
Shakes.
Yeah.
Yes. So do feed him if you see him looking a bit sort
please,
of wilted
yes.
at the Hyde Park
yeah.
bandstand. It's fine. You're allowed to take whatever you like. But I mean, seriously, have you any idea? Have you weighed what a tuba
when
is?
When I have to check it in at the airport and it's in the ooh. Hard case, it's about 17 kilograms. So just by itself, it must be, I don't know, 13, 14, something like that.
Yeah, so it's another person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd rather not be you checking it in with some aircraft.
Yes,
let's leave some people out of it, but I can imagine the kerfuffle sometimes.
There have been kerfuffles over the years.
That's reckoning without the Gordon Chute charm, of course, obviously. That smooths many a path into the airline.
Good at that.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, it's wonderful when you read about what people are up to. David said if he wasn't a tuba player, he'd quite like to be a vet. Or have you decided you don't want to do that when you grow up now?
No, well, no, I still like to be a vet. In fact, we got a dog.
Don't experiment.
18 months ago. No, I am, in our household, I'm the primary carer for the dog. So I had to read all sorts of books and things. In fact, I read many more books about dogs before the dog came than I did before we had a baby. When my wife kept leaving me books
dear.
To read about fatherhood, and I didn't. But I read the ones about the dog.
I'm sure you gleaned a lot from that. We'll get in touch with you when Crufts comes round. And Amos once said he wanted to be a driver on a Swiss mountain train.
There seems to be something a bit zen-like about that, watching the seasons change as you look out of your train cab, but I'm sure it's more prosaic than that in real life.
Everybody thinks they want to be a train driver.
They do.
When they grow up.
It wouldn't fit a trombone in the cab.
But
though.
You all play, of course, as I said, a classy outfit. You all play in different orchestras and symphony orchestras. So how much time can you put aside for the quintet?
We do pretty well. We've been gradually over our 21 years of being in existence.
Well, yes, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
You've grown up now.
It's hard to believe looking at our youthful faces.
It is hard to believe.
We've gradually been getting busier and busier, and I think we're probably working something like 60 or 70 days this year, which for a brass quintet is, you know, it's very hard to be a full-time brass quintet, so we do pretty well. And this Tour de Brass project is a really major... Mm-hmm. taking us around the country. It's a major event for us this year with the PRSF New Music Biennial funding for it. It's a bit of a mouthful.
I'm glad you said that. Should be some acronym for that. Can somebody please get an abbreviation?
PRSF NMB. About that?
It's not romantic enough. It doesn't scale.
Does it work with a hashtag?
Oh, probably with a hashtag.
We'll work
on a hashtag. Here's Miss Susan Ray coming in. She's always got very clever observations to make. We might ask her later. Lots of new works you've commissioned, you've done over those years, haven't you? I mean, obviously arrangements of things, but...
Yeah, we try and keep that going. Kenny's piece that Amos introduced is part of a new project of new music inspired by the jazz world. A major part of the bandstand thing is a new piece by David Sawyer, where there's not only a lot of notes to play, as you're just about to hear, but something that we can't really recreate in the studio is all the choreography that he's asked us to do at the same time.
Oh, why not?
We can
We're
try.
Having a dancing lutenist in later, so... I think it'd be unfair to ask you to dance with a tuba on your back, though, unless there are any other
maybe
volunteers.
Amos could do the dancing, then.
With the tuba.
Yeah.
You can see. We'll imagine it. We'll imagine it anyway. So it's going to be an excerpt from the new David Sawyer piece.
Yeah, and it's a great piece, very strong musically, and it's just been an added challenge for us to do all the... In fact, Amos was saying we were playing it on Sunday in Bury St Edmunds, and he was saying after we played it, with all the gusts of wind that were going on and the music flying everywhere, because it's all outside, that one thing they don't teach you at music college is how to perform... When there are prevailing weather conditions, they teach you everything else. Yeah.
Clothes pegs are a good idea.
Clothes pegs on lyres don't work very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you understand. We'll work on
that. That's lyre, L-Y-R-E, obviously.
Yeah, well, of course. Someone will suggest it. Our audience are very informed. Gentlemen, we'll let you turn into a quintet again. So it's a little bit of Bronze and Iron from David Sawyer, and you work for Onyx Brass.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. And that's this virtuosic sound of onyx on bronze and iron. Music by David Sawyer, played by Onyx Brass live in the studio. Thank you to Ryan, Alan, Finlay, Amos and David. And they're off now to the Hyde Park Bandstand. Be nice to them. And the Tour de Brass continues around the UK. Beaminster and Dorset next. 28 minutes to 6 is the time. The gleaming instruments of Onyx Brass have gone into the sunshine. You'll find them at the Bandstand in Hyde Park in London if you're there. Catch them next in St David's next this day week. In come the Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments, who are about to take us on a 9-day wonder tour, dancing all the way, celebrating a nice little journey Mr Will Kemp made to Norwich in 1600. Claire Salomon and Steve Player are detached themselves from the rest of the peculiars for a moment. You're going to be doing the dancing and the journeying, Steve, aren't you?
I'm doing the dancing, certainly, sure.
You're not going to dance the whole way to Norwich, though?
No, well, I mean, the Kemp danced to Norwich, certainly, in 9 days, but he took 3 weeks at least to do it.
So it's only 9 days dancing. But
9 days dancing, but, 3 weeks holiday. It's recovery time in between. And yeah, we're not going to be dancing anyway, too.
He even got sponsored, didn't he? Very trendy, very current.
Yeah, it was very, very current. He was a kind of celebrity who decided he needed to boost his persona, so he went on this fundraising jaunt.
Some things don't change.
They don't, no. It wasn't the Eddie Izzard of his time, except it wasn't money raised for charity. It was raised solely for Will Kemp, his betterment. But he'd just been sacked by Shakespeare, or just left Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, so he was in need of a quick buck.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, fine, I'd give him full marks for invention and entrepreneurial skill. And we have, Claire, I think, actually a record of all his journey and what went on.
We do, because he wrote one a few months after he got back, and it seems he did that in response to slander that had been put about amongst the ballad makers, the balladeers. So he wrote this account to kind of prove them wrong and show that he did in fact dance every step.
You see, he's got great contemporary resonance, and he hated journalists, I know that, because obviously he people were formed. Telling scurrilous lies in their sort of broadsheets about him.
Absolutely, and he has has an outrageous rant about them at the end of the pamphlet.
Well, everybody's long gone, so no one can sue, so you can be as outrageous as you like. But what was the music like? What sort of music would he have danced to? I mean,
The picture of Kemp dancing, his woodcut of him dancing, is just dancing to a pipe and tabor, which is a man playing a three-old pipe, and at the same time playing a small drum. But of course, Kemp says he danced pretty fast, so you've got to think this man with a three-old pipe and a drum had to keep up with him. So I don't know, no one mentioned the musician and how fit he had to be.
But you've got no rings on your fingers, I see, but you've sort of got bells on your toes.
I've got some bells.
Oh, nice. Yes, and you've got to stamp a bit on our parquet, aren't
you? I'm going to stamp a bit, exactly, on your parquet, indeed.
So, and before that, we should say, it's such a marvellous appellation, the Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments, but you took it, I think, from a French group. Early 1900s, isn't that right?
That's right, yeah. There was a series of concerts put on in Paris, and it was four players who played conventional instruments, but for these concerts they played hurdy-gurdy, viola d'amore, viola de gamba and harpsichord, which was incredibly special.
Oh, yes. Special. Well, I'm going to let you do a little bit of dancing first, but just, are you playing your hurdy-gurdy or what are you playing?
I'm going to play the nickel harper and then the hurdy-gurdy afterwards, so there'll be a short break while I tune it up.
Okay, the nickel harper is sort of violin with added bits. Sorry, that's not a very nice way to describe it.
You could call it a keyed fiddle.
A keyed fiddle?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm not being disrespectful, really. But we'll meet it properly. Meet it properly afterwards. We may hear it being retuned. There should be a bit of a treat. So first, we're having a caveat for cut purses, and there's still a few cut purses around.
There's quite a few. The great thing about this caveat for cut purses is that one thing that Will Kemp talks about is that when they find a pickpocket in the theatre, they tie them to a post on the stage for everyone to see them. So they really punish them there and then. Instant justice.
I think that sounds like a rather good idea. I can feel a swell of public opinion rising in your favour. Let us know what you would do with the cut purse, and then you're having Maiden Lane after that, which I suspect has something to do with drink. People used to swill around in it, didn't they?
Well, maybe, but also probably, possibly something to do with the Morris as well.
Oh, Morris as well. Yes, so. I know. And Ladies Morris danced then, I think.
Oh, yes, well, the ladies danced a lot, and we are going to be meeting some Lady Morris dancers in Beverley, which we're very excited about, and feel that Will Kemp would have given it his full approval. We can tell you that story later.
Kemp would have got up to. Yes, we'll keep that for afterwards. Keep us on tenterhooks. The caveat is yours. Thank you very much indeed. Cut purses everywhere. This is for you. And Morris dancers, a little Maiden Lane for you coming shortly after.
My masters and friends and good people, draw near and look to your purses, for that I do say. And though little money in them do you bear, it costs more to get than to lose in a day. You oft have been told, both the young and the old, and bidden beware of the cutpurse so bold. Then if you take heed not, free me from this curse, who give you this warning about the cutpurse.
Youth thou hast better be sharp by thy nurse, than live to be hanged for cutting a purse.
It hath been upbraided to men of our trade, that oftentimes we are the cause of this crime. Alack, and for pity, why should it be said, as if they regarded of places or time? Examples have been of those that were seen in Westminster Hall, yea, the pleaders between. Then why should the judges be free from this curse, more than my poor self is for cutting a purse?
If thou hast better be sharp by thy nurse, than victim to be hanged for cutting a purse.
Thank you.
sermons and as the sessions, 'tis daily their practice such booty to make. Yea, under the gallows at executions, they stick up not the stareabouts purses to take. Nay, one without grace, at a better place, at court and at Christmas, before the king's face. Alack then for pity, must I bear the curse that only belongs to the cunning cut purse?
You thou hadst better be starved by thy nurse than live to be hanged for cutting a purse.
But oh, you vile nation of cut purses all, relent and repent and amend and be sound, and know that you ought not by honest men's fall advance your own fortunes to die above ground. And though you go get in silks as he may, it is not the highway to hell as they say. Repent then, repent you, for better, for worse, and kiss not the gallows for cutting a purse.
If thou hast better be starved by thy nurse than live to be hanged for cutting a purse.
No more cash in purse, pocket or wallet than one single penny to pay for the ballot. For cut purse doth shroud himself in a cloud, this many a purse hath been lost in a crowd. For he's the most rogue that doth cloud up and curses, who first writes, my masters, beware of your purses.
If thou hast better be starved by thy nurse than live to be hanged for cutting.
You thou hadst better be starved by thy nurse than live to be hanged for cutting a purse.
Hurdy gurdy time. Hurdy gurdy time. It's a long time since I've heard that popular cry. The hurdy gurdy has been taken out of captivity. Yes, it did. But thank you. It was very nice to have the Nicol Harper. The hurdy-gurdy looks equally as exotic, beautifully, beautifully made. Well, that was fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. I'm sorry you couldn't, Steve Stiepler, twirling and whirling as he did his dancing. You would have heard the firm tread upon our parquet floor. Thank goodness it's a solid floor is all I can say. You've got a very purposeful tread, young man. Luckily, he's not dancing the whole way to Norwich, but he is going to be impersonating a 1600s journey. But that was really a sort of Morris dancing moment, Claire, wasn't it?
It was a Morris dancing moment.
As soon as you said hurdy-gurdy.
Exactly. Actually, not a lot of Morris troops have hurdy-gurdy players, but maybe they will in the future.
Yes, I can hear the bells coming. Ah, the bells, the bells.
Yeah, the lovely bells.
Shattered shins over to the microphone.
Yes. Well, anyway, you don't need to take your ease. Obviously very good for you.
You think so, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Psychologically, maybe.
But is that a traditional Morris dance, doing that sort of stamping and twirling around? I think yours is a little bit more sophisticated than the troops would manage.
Well, I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, Sean, because no one really can tell you what a traditional Morris was beyond, I mean, back in time. No one knows what any kind of dance was back in time. We've researched from books, original manuscripts, and of course Kemp was a dancer on the stage, and he was, but a dancer in those days was also an acrobat and a juggler, all kinds of things. So, and the Morris dancing was a festive dance to do with beer and sex and all kinds of things, and usually performed at this time of year in May.
And that's when the sap's rising.
Exactly, as we've all felt those urges, maybe, in our long and varied careers. But, so what was a Morris dancer? What did Kemp actually dance? And he gives little hints, you know, my pace in dancing is not ordinary. And you think if he's dancing 10 miles a day, he does it in 3 or 4 hours. He's going at quite a lick.
Yeah. Well, I don't need to give you a break. You're making me feel actually exhausted listening to you. But you're doing very well. But it's the deep breathing.
It's the breathing.
I'm just a bit worried about.
No, I'm fine.
You've got to do a bit more in a moment, haven't you? What's the perfect lineup? We haven't actually met all the instruments. We should say that, Claire, you've got your nickel harp, and we've met the hurdy-gurdy as well. Mm-hmm. Jeremy's been singing. And I don't know if he's used his citron or not yet, has he?
He's been playing a bendir.
What's it like, a boron? A sort of percussive?
It's a snared boron, yeah.
Snared boron. Ian has been playing his cornet, whistle, pipes and percussion. Got a huge array. Steve has got his guitar and has been dancing. Alison has got her violone.
She has, but actually in the show she brings another very wonderful instrument called the viola bastarda, which probably was fairly well known in the 16th and 17th centuries, but very little known now, and it's a wonderful...
Was it an unhappy marriage of two instruments?
Well, I think at the time they thought it was a very happy marriage, and that it was an instrument that was meant to be able to do everything, that it could play chords and it could play tunes and it could play all sorts of it. It was kind of all-purpose instrument. But it's fallen out of currency, sadly. But Alison's
good. She's had one made.
Yes, she has. She has. It's one of very few in the country, I think.
Gosh, Alison, you're part of your living history.
She's raising her eyebrows.
You will be living history, not yet. Not yet. Not yet, but we'll be grateful eventually to you. We will. Does the Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments embrace any more, or is this the perfect quorum?
This is what we have for this project. So we've chosen instruments that would have been around in some form or other around Kemp's time, and that suited the music that we're playing. But we're not just playing country dances.
Lovely. Well, listen, thank you for bringing it to us. Tidings of where you're off to Bury St. Edmunds, Beverly Early Music Festival. We meet all those Lady Morris dancers, a part of the Nine Days Wonder Tour. Stop that. You're going to sing now, I think, are you not?
Yes.
You gave us your own version of Mr. Gibbons's Silver Swan. And then we're going to have, what, another... something called My Linda?
That's right, by Holborn, who's a very popular composer of his day.
Spelled M-U, why should I say My Linda then?
Well, we had a big discussion about this afternoon, and
what
we decided it was My Linda.
My Linda, you're making it sound very proper. I think My Linda's better. Anyway,
yeah,
thank you.
That should be the Spanish accent, actually.
Oh, all right. You win. Thank you very much indeed. The Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments bring us My Linda, and before that, the Silver Swan by Gibbons.
The silver swan, who living had no note, when death approached
A very elegant flourish to finish, as usual, just what we expect from musicians of your calibre. Thank you all so much. The Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments, and they'll be playing at Bury St Edmunds Festival tomorrow. You can dance along with them. Beverley Early Music Festival on Thursday, and East Riding Early Music Festival runs 21st to 25th, part of the 9 Days Wonder Tour. Thank you for being wonderful with us. The 9 Days Wonder Tour is something that Robert Hollingworth, I'm sure, could think up. He's very inventive with his group, Ifagiolini. But...